Hello guys, I'm David Vianich.
And I'm Spitz Gonzalez.
And this is Stripped, brought to you by William Hill.
On this show, we talk to celebrity guests and get nostalgic, looking back at retro football shirts that made us fall in love with the game.
Our guests pick four shirts that tell the story of their life. The first one, the unforgettable one, the haunted one, and the named one.
We've got a big guest today, though, you know.
We do, man.
We've got a Premier League legend, you know, someone that's won the league twice with Man City. And I bought this guy on Foot Manager and Championship Manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he was at Wolves.
He was there for that. Aguero. Yeah, he was there.
This is a legend, man. And I've caught him DJing secretly.
Was he good?
No, he's amazing.
What about amazing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jolly Onesco.
Jolly Onesco.
How are you, bro?
Yes, I'm good, man. I'm good. You guys?
I'm good, man. As you were saying, he looks well, man.
He looks healthy.
And yeah, Eli's treating me well, man.
Is like being an athlete and being healthy, or what is it?
Yeah, well, to be fair, and I wasn't as healthy as this looking about 2 months ago, end of May, end of the season, not working and stuff and travelling and just enjoying life a bit too much. And then I went away with the 21s and I went on the scales and I don't weigh myself ever. Like, I haven't weighed myself really since I retired.
Me too.
I jumped on the scales and it was peak. Yeah. So I was like,
how many kgs did you hit?
I was just under 105.
Oh.
105?
Right. Yeah.
How many kgs are you now?
I'm 97.
That's not okay.
Yeah, but muscle. I played at 95, so
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I'm okay.
See, this is why, you know, when I was young, I wanted to be a footballer. Mm. I've always weighed like 13 kg. Yeah. So just imagine me.
Yeah, I haven't weighed that since I was about 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now there's obviously players a lot lighter than me. But
I was quick.
I was always lanky. I was a keeper, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a story we can go into straight away.
I can't wait.
We have heard that you were a goalkeeper.
Yeah, forced. I used to enjoy diving around and like kids are getting dirty and stuff. But it was more forced on me because Big Bro was a footballer and it was like, you need someone to go in goal. So I was that guy. So I literally had to go in goal. And I think my first three shirts were like, goalkeeping tops for Christmas and that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You still got them?
Nah.
Fine, because I would have taken them off you, man.
What did you do with your old shirts?
They weren't a thing, though. You get your shirts, they were just getting thrown in the bin. You weren't allowed to hoard stuff in the house. It was like, you had one drawer.
I feel like the old goalkeeping shirts had like the
pads.
Yeah, the pads in it.
Baggy as well.
Yeah,
padding on the arms and stuff, yeah.
Is that why you like long-sleeve shirts?
Yeah, I only wore long sleeves, yeah. That was part of it, but obviously, like when you play, whatever it is, like getting into an academy young, you got short sleeves. Mm. And I thought that was when you recognised that someone is a made it or a professional because they can wear long sleeves, they can choose. So I was like, I'll never want to wear short sleeves. Even in the pre-season and the sun, I used to wear long sleeve. And also, I couldn't stand my arms getting dirty and that.
Oh, is it?
A bit of like OCD.
I didn't like the hands and arms and that. It's a bit weird. It would irritate me.
Long sleeve does look better, though, slightly.
Yeah.
I was like that with my jeans.
Okay.
So basically, what I used to do, when I used to wear like my football shorts, I put jeans underneath and the socks over the jeans. I didn't want my knees to get...
not even tracksuit bottoms, jeans.
Jeans.
At least wear tracksuit bottoms.
Yeah, jeans,
you wore shorts over jeans
and
then socks.
Yeah.
So you'd only have like knee jeans.
Yeah, the knee jeans. There's no rules. But no one believed it. Like, everyone's like, is that jeans? But you know what? We're not going to ask.
Yeah, believe it still.
Yeah, yeah. Just trust the process.
I trust the process. I mean, Specs, I think it's time to go into the first kit.
Of course.
The first one.
The reason why we love the game, isn't it?
Bro, it's a beauty. Aston Villa 94-95. It's a good segue.
Hold on, is that Congo's flag on the... I'm sure that looks like my country.
That was... The time my brother was at Aston Villa them times as well, so I was a Villa fan growing up, and then that was the top I got for Christmas.
So you said you were a Villa fan.
Yeah.
So when you were young, and obviously you was in goal, was the rivalry going on them times, the Villa Birmingham?
Yeah, that's always the rivalry in the school,
in primary school.
Nah, because to be fair, there wasn't that many Blues fans like at school. It was just you knew that was the rival team, and it wasn't really competitive for that reason. But you knew you. If you supported Villa, you hated Blues. And if you supported Blues, you hated Villa. You know what I mean? So that was kind of the rivalry. That's how it worked. Yeah, there's just real violence, them two teams.
So, Julian, all these people behind the cameras who were almost my cousins, were first cousins, always talk about Paul McGrath and how good he was. Do you remember him?
Yeah. No, he's a big deal.
Was he that good?
Yes. he was a real big deal. Like, mad talent. Like, read the game. Like, probably one of them ones that could play in this era. Yeah. He's different, man. Real different.
That's legendary.
He's mad because when I was at Villa, like, we got relegated. Like, I received some stick. And he was one of the guys. I was like, I can't even comment because it's him. You know what I mean? I just got to eat it. I just got to take it. The other players that were trying to come for me, I can retaliate. But him, you have to hold that.
And then there was Dean Saunders?
Dean Saunders, Dalian Atkinson. Legends, man. Because again, like when you come out of goal, I'm like everyone else, I want to play up front. And then you kind of realise you can't, so you just filter back.
Yeah, that's the journey, isn't it?
But yeah, but no, Dalian Atkinson. Yeah. Tony Daly. Steve Froggatt. Some bad boys in there, either.
When did you decide, like, all right, when you finished your goalkeeping career?
Age 13.
And then what? How did you know, well, I'll be a good defender?
I didn't want to play defence. I was a midfielder. Like, Paul Lintz was my hero.
Okay, we'll go into that later.
Yeah, so Paul Lintz was, like, the guy who wanted to be, like, only wanted to play midfield, didn't enjoy playing at the back. And then when I was probably, 14-ish, yeah, I was on Wolves, and the centre-half that was there, he was injured, so they said, you have to go play at the back. I played there for, like, 2 weeks and never went back into midfield. So I stopped playing for a bit. Okay. I didn't want to enjoy it. The enjoyment element of it was outweighed everything, so I was like, I'm not going to go back there. So I stopped playing for Wolves and then just went Sunday League so I could just play up front and play midfield. Yeah.
That's amazing, though.
And then how did you revert back to
Well, it was funny. So I was leaving school and our school team is decent. So, like, we got to, like, the City final, which was at Villa Park. So the school, like, the PE teachers going, you have to play at the back because they were a team that we were playing with decent. We played them a couple of times and their star was a striker. He's like, you have to play at the back. I was like, I'm not playing at the back. I'm not playing my first time at Villa Park. I don't know if I'm ever going to play there again. I said, I'm not playing at the back. I'm playing midfield. He said, if you don't play in there, we're going to lose. I said, I'm playing midfield or I won't play. And I'm playing midfield, we lost. But then I kind of realised, yeah, I'm not really a midfielder. Pitches are bigger than I thought, so.
So then you decided to back. Sort of.
Yeah, and I knew then, obviously, I was going, like, I wanted to try and have a career. So then after that, like I said, our school team is decent. So we all, literally about seven of us went on trial at Derby. So I'd left Wolves now for a while and then go to Derby and I put down defence because I'd been to Villa on trial at age 15. So 13, 14, whatever it was. Said I was a midfielder and they said, nah, you're not good enough. So I was like, now it's real. You need to make a decision.
I mean, that's a mad journey because obviously, you know, you're a Villa fan.
Yeah. It's in his family, the footballing.
It's in your blood, obviously. Yeah. Big rivalries there. It's a huge club in Birmingham. And then you do play at Villa Park. So it's not even gone full circle yet. You've gone Villa Park very early. School's Cup.
Yeah, school cup I was 14, 15 again, all around similar times. Probably like 12 to 15.
That's a lot in your early career, bro.
Yeah, like from 12 to 15, there was a lot going on. Like,
what?
I was developed though. So like I was probably like at 15, I probably had like man strength, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like I was developed fast because I remember like I was playing like with men at like 13 and that. You know, when you just go up the AstroTurf and you just stay there and you're just waiting for someone to say, come and have a kick about.
Sick.
I was just there all day.
They've rejected you then. Villa rejected you.
Yeah, really rejected me early.
Was that hard to take that early on?
I didn't really know. It was one of those things. It was mad because it was like they had, obviously, now working football and I see how clubs plan. So they had Gareth Barry, who was left-sided centre-back and midfielder, and J. Lloyd Samuel. They're thinking, well, you're not better than them, rightly so. So we don't need to waste your time.
Any memories? Like, is there like any particular memory? Because I remember there was some kind of like phone thing that
Villa, when I was
phone
there,
incident. Yeah,
when I was there, so that was a mad one. Like, so I was at Villa and we'd lost to Liverpool, and I'm driving home, and then my brother's phone me and said, "What you done?" I was like, "What are you about?" He's like, "Ah, you tweeted this picture of your car, not of your car, of a car." And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, it's going off on Twitter and stuff like that." So I was like. Yeah,
like, still I mean, don't get
it.
Car.
I still don't get it. And the worst thing is, I didn't even have that car. Jack Grealish, I used to do cars and help players source cars and stuff like that. Jack hadn't passed his test. He was passing his test and said, I want this one. I was like, you can't get that, bro. Like, insurance on that's going to be wild. Yeah. You know what I mean? So get a car like that. It can look exactly the same, but you can't be that because the engines and whatever, stuff like that. So that was the reason it was on my phone, because he'd sent it to me and it was just saved on my phone. And then literally people still question, how can you do that? I'm like, I pocket dial all the time. Like yesterday I was literally did it to someone else, like put my phone in my pocket and it's FaceTiming a mate that I haven't spoke to for a while. I'm like, how has he even done that? You know what I mean? So, and it just developed from that. And then I was used, not used, but part of the reason why we went down. So that was the reason then the Villa fans used to get onto it and still talk about it. And I leave it up. I leave it up because I know I purposely didn't do it. Like, I didn't tweet after games, win or lose. I didn't tweet after games. I wasn't the one that says, oh, disappointing result that you see now or great result, fans were brilliant.
Your PR team's like...
That, yeah, and I didn't do that. Yeah. I was just like, we're done now. I'm going to... It's family time. I was done for the weekend. We start again Monday. So for me to do that, like, and there's a history of me not tweeting after games. So after a defeat, I'm not going to tweet of a car. That's off the internet. It's not like it's a picture of on my driveway. It's off the internet. And I don't even have that car. Yeah.
And you can tell it's an accident. But you wouldn't do that.
Well, it doesn't matter now anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's
what car was it?
It was a Mercedes.
Oh, nice.
It was nice car. Yeah. Real nice car.
It would have probably been more, I don't know, suitable for the fans if it was like a Yugo or a Nissan Micra. Yeah. They might have just been like...
That's my kind of car.
Do you know what I mean? Can you see the dynamic? They might have just got ice on Nissan Micra. Oh, it seems more like an accident if it's a Nissan Micra. Yeah.
I don't know. Because
what cars,
you know, driving Nissan
Micros? Oh, I saw Luis Bumote driving... What was he driving? It went viral at the time. He was driving a Ford Mondeo. A red one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
but
red.
That journey, I mean... Sorry, I'm taking it back a little bit. You know, you've gone Schools Cup and then you end up at Villa later on.
Yeah, after that. Because when I left City, I just wanted to... I wanted to go to Aston Villa.
I was going to say, that must have been a dream.
Yeah, really, really... Like, spoke to Shay Given, spoke to the manager, and I wanted to go there. But my decision on where I was going after Man City was it had to be a British manager. I only wanted to work with a British manager. So I'd spoke to Mark Hughes was at Stoke. Steve Bruce was at Hull.
Ooh, choices.
Paul Lambert was at Villa, where I wanted to go. And Alan Irvine was at West Brom. But Alan Irvine was the assistant at Everton. Keith Downing was my youth team manager, who was his assistant at West Brom, and Rob Kelly was my youth development officer, or part of the youth development at Wolves. So I knew them. So that was the reason I went to West Brom. But I wanted to go to Aston Villa, but all them three teams, Byron Villa, here's the offer we want to give you. I said, yeah, it's fine. I said to Villa, Villa said, this is what the offer is. And I said, well, they're offering more. I'll take less, but I'll come. I'll take less and I'll come to Villa. And they said, well, we can get Senderos for this. I was like, but that's less than I'm actually willing to take from them. You know what I mean? So they're offering me this. I'm willing to take that to come to Villa. You're one offering me that. I said, you're going to have to sign Senderos. So then they signed Senderos. And then it was mad because then I went to West Brom. A year later, they buying me and I could have got me for free and giving me more than what I was on. I was like...
So you've had a bit of a mad time with Villa.
It was just one of them ones. You know when you say, don't meet your superhero?
I hear you.
Don't meet your hero. I was like,
you lost the Schools Cup there. They didn't... Well, they wanted you, but then they were kind of...
But saying that, my hero, like one of my heroes genuinely was Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
And I played with him and he's a friend, so there's some elements of it as well.
So you've played for West Brom, a few other teams. You had a couple of Premier League wins. Something light. You do end up at Villa.
Yeah.
Finally.
Buzzing.
What was that emotion like?
Oh, ridiculous. Like, I remember signing there, going there to sign. Me and my brother went there to sign and stuff. And just like, I was just buzzing. Like, being there, I'd been to the training ground and stuff, but never obviously wore the shirt. And that feeling of wearing the shirt and playing at Villa Park. Like, I remember my first game was Leicester away. Obviously, the year they won the league. And the fans singing "He's One of Our Own." I was like, wow.
You had it.
Oh, that was mad. And it just went downhill from there. From that game. Imagine. We lost 3-2. And then that was, we winning 2-0 maybe. We lost 3-2. And it was there, that season, that changed, that moment in that season, it was changed for both of us. We were doing all right. They were doing okay. They brought on Kante at halftime.
Really?
It was a done deal.
He just didn't just stop running.
It was a done deal. I was like, who's this guy? Yeah, just closing everybody down. And then that was it. We lost 3-2. And then it just kind of went downhill from there.
And then there was a bit more of a struggle.
Was it more like a reality? It was a struggle there, like the second half of the season. It was a struggle. Like,
and then you tweeted the car from the internet.
Yeah, it was messy.
Oh, it was messy. Man.
This is a movie, then, man. John, this is a movie.
There was a lot going on there. Oh,
that's a storyline, bro.
And then, what was the worst was, like, my family had to stop coming to the games and that, like, because of the abuse. They, I kind of knew I was going to get abuse. Yeah. It's fine, you can kind of black that out. But when they're getting abuse, I was like, nah, this ain't cool. This ain't cool.
Does that for you?
Yeah.
Change how you view the club a little bit? Does it change your emotion towards it?
Yeah, it does. The whole club. Because again, I felt there was people in the club that allowed me to be the scapegoat and not accepting their responsibility. Like, I know I was part of the reason we went down. I know that. But there was other elements to it and people allowing it to just...
That's tricky though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's something you love.
Oh, yeah.
It almost feels like a breakup.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, I used to love you. And now they're like, well, we don't love you.
Yeah, it's like, weird. But again, I'd...
Romeo and Juliet vibes.
It happens for a reason, isn't it? Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. So, next shot we're going to is the unforgettable one. So that's the England play Italy. Mm. Needing a point to qualify for the 98 World Cup. They draw 0-0. Why this shirt?
It's just more iconic. For the person that's actually wearing it. Like, when I see this shirt, I see Paul Ince. Like, I wanted to be Paul Ince, lucky enough to play with him, like, call him a friend and that. And so that is, like... And it was one of the first... Like, I wasn't in England set up then, but it was one of the first ones I got to see. You know what I mean?
Like, how old are you? 18? 16?
16, yeah. So I was under 16, wow. So... Yeah, it was around them times you kind of getting into them setups and stuff. But yeah, that was like Paul Ince, England captain, there's blood on there and it's like an iconic moment as well. And I remember that game actually, we had training that night for Wolves and I remember being in the dressing room thinking, how do I get that bandage? You know what I mean? Like, as I said, it was just like an iconic thing that to see Paul Ince, someone who I'd like obviously wanted to emulate.
Shirt as well, bro.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll
just give you a little zoom.
Oh, it's a nice kit, that.
But that's a nice.
It's a very nice.
Yeah.
I think it's one of England's best.
Something about the middle. I like the middle.
Yeah.
And we had
the rib cages. It was nice, man. And it had the buttons as well.
It just looks nice. And even the number with the navy outline. Yeah. Red Umbro. Do you know what I mean?
And Umbro. I had Umbro jeans.
The badge is...
Umbro did jeans.
That was the jeans I wore under the thing. Umbro jeans.
Umbro did jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you get Umbro jeans from?
I don't know. Are you sure they're real?
Oh, Market.
They were real?
Market.
Is it?
Yeah, Market.
Well, Wembley Market. First paycheck I got, I went Wembley Market and got fake Avisus.
Yeah, so you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. Before.
Yeah, of course. We've all had them. Cartinis and that.
So you had Umbro jeans as well?
No. Nobody had Umbro jeans.
Okay.
Only
Naf
you.
Naf.
Bro.
Remember, I had Naf Naf.
Beautiful kit, man. And also, I might be right here. I might be wrong. This was in the qualifiers. They wore this kit.
Yeah,
they also wore it in the World Cup.
Yeah.
It wasn't changed.
Yep, it wasn't changed. Is it?
Yeah, but that was the times when
neoliberal yet.
You didn't change your kit all the time. Like now, every team has three every season.
Yeah.
Like before, when I started playing, only got to change one.
Yeah.
You could only change one.
Yeah.
And then you change your home one this year, and the next season you change the away
one. Two seasons in a row.
That's actually because then that means it saves me money buying a shirt every year.
But now it's free every season.
Because
it wasn't even a third kit back then.
Yeah.
It was only two.
Environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. Greta Thunberg will be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a few teams doing that now, though.
That's wild, you know.
That is.
Definitely. But again, you only wore that shirt during the tournament or during the game. Like, now people wear shirts.
Mm. Fashion.
Yeah.
So you're 16. You're looking at Paul Ince, obviously idol. First black England captain. Did you ever think to yourself that later on you would end up putting the England top on as well?
No. Didn't see it.
That wasn't an
ambition like to think that. But I wasn't like, I don't know if it was subconsciously that was the reason, but I wasn't aware that he was the first black England captain. Mm. That wasn't a thing then. Like, in my mind, it was just, that's Paul Ince, legend. I want to play like him. I want to be like him. And he's the England captain. Not that he's the first black England captain. Okay. But then when you realise it was a massive deal. But yeah, like, there's loads of things that I didn't think I would achieve. Like, growing up, I don't think about winning the Premier League. Think about winning the FA Cup, because that was iconic and everyone could participate in that, even when I was at Wolves and stuff. But, like, probably dreamt about scoring for England and that, and again, lucky enough to do that. So there are certain things, but not everything I achieved, I wasn't like, oh, yeah, pictured that, and it's planned out.
Is there a difference between scoring for your country and club? Does it feel different, or is it still like a goal?
Yeah, that felt different.
Yeah.
And it felt more different last summer, watching England and seeing that. You got to think, like, the whole nation are watching that game and are cheering that moment if you do score. So, like, realising that was a bit wild, like, last year even. But at the time when I scored, I remember, like, obviously getting on the bus, and then I'd spoke to my mum. And then she texted me after. She never said it on the phone, but she texted me after to say how proud she was. And that was like a mad moment to say, to realise that. And then, like, to realise the area where I grew up, all watching the game. So, like, they all wanted me to do well, and I scored it. Yeah. So them kind of things are different and wild. Wow. Yeah,
it's amazing, man. 26 caps.
26, yeah.
26.
And you get a cap, I've heard. That's what someone told me.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Do you still have the caps?
Yeah.
You still have the caps.
So, you know, are you going to tell them to deal with it? Because
you got to give one in.
Yeah, basically, when you come on this show, you have to give
us a cap.
A cap.
I thought you said it was your shirt.
I mean, I kind of want a cap, bro.
Yeah.
And that would be cool to just have. But Estonia was your first game.
Yeah, man.
Do you remember that vividly?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. Going through your head.
That is mad. 3-0. Half-time I came on.
That's an easy one, isn't it? Or was it not?
I don't know. I wasn't thinking it's going to be easy or hard. I was just thinking, get me on. And it was mad because I came on for Rio. And it's mad, yeah, because I only asked him this in the summer when we was in Paris doing the game. But I always fought it. So we 3-0 up, and he come in and said his back was sore and said to me, enjoy, and, like, came off. And I thought, did he do that on purpose? And I asked him that in the summer, and he said, yeah. He said, because he went to the World Cup in France 98, didn't he? He said, never got a minute. He said it always stuck with him that if he was able to give someone an opportunity to play, he would.
That's pretty nice, man. Big up Rio, man.
But I always thought he did that. So I went on at centre half, and then Ash Cole came off later on. I went left back, and I don't know who came on centre half. So I went to left back at halfway through the half.
That's a dope story.
Yeah.
You know what, Rio, man? Big up Rio, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he just came off like, oh, I got a bad back.
Yeah, his back was stiff, though, them times.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was a real thing. But he came off. Without telling me or telling them, that was the reason. I always thought that was the reason.
And then you only found out, how many years later is that?
That's just like, now. I just, like, literally found out that then.
2007, so, like, let me do my maths. 15 years ago.
Quick maths.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, no, 15.
15 years.
Wow, 15. You find a truth out.
Yeah.
That's a good truth, though. Do you know what I mean? That's awesome.
Even if it's a lie, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I played.
Do you still have, I know you said before, when you were younger, you didn't keep your shirts. Did you, when you started playing, start keeping your shirts?
Yeah, I got some shirts, yeah. Not all of them.
This one? Estonia
debut? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got debut shirts and, like, finals and big games and stuff.
How have you found the change of material? Because, obviously, older shirts, they felt heavier.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Now they're ultra light. Sometimes you can't even see the shirt anymore. What's your take on it? Did you like that shift in your career as well, as you're getting...
Yeah, I like the fitted one. I like the more fitted ones. Because, like I say, we were speaking then about Andy Coleman and how immaculate he used to look all the time. And I used to like that fitted look and tapered. So I was conscious about that. Because now coloured boots have started to get in in the mix.
Boots are crazy. You can't even see the boots anymore. There's too much.
I can't wear
boots.
There's, like, now it's like black boots stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's kind of reverting back, isn't it?
Yeah. The brands know that because they've got the prices on them. Exactly. The black ones.
Yeah.
It's expensive, man. So now you're with the England setup right now, coaching the under 21s. I was a coach myself. Got my level 2 and my youth module. I want to know what's changed with coaching now and when you were doing your, like, YTS and all that stuff. What's changed?
What's YTS, just for the audience?
YTS is, what's it stand for?
Youth
Training Scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, so, something like that.
Yeah.
I was a YTS and then it went to scholarships.
That's what I tried to get when I was young.
A sculler.
Yeah. I tried to. Yeah, I wanted to make it when I was
young. Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, what's changed? The detail and the delivery. There's a lot more empathy now. You have to cater for different personalities, you would say. It was like, back then it was like, this is how we're coaching. This is how you taught. If you don't learn, you're not going to make it. So it's mad. It probably hindered a lot of careers doing it that way. I think there's a lot more variety now in how you approach individuals, and you should. But it's crazy because, like, I always say, like, the youth team coach that every player played for that made it would say he was great. But then there's a thousand other kids that said he's the reason I didn't make it. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to find a way that allows players to develop. And that's the biggest thing now is understanding that.
Well, it's working right now, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, England have done well. The first team, the women's team, just won the Euros. Do you reckon now it's, you know, the men's, they can actually go and win a World Cup now?
I hope so. But again, I just think the transition, and we need to appreciate that we genuinely believe they can rather than we just hope they can. Yeah. Like, there's a real belief.
It has shifted, hasn't it?
Yeah, so that is a positive change. And the disappointment can be had rather than before it felt like we're waiting. Everyone was waiting for England to fail. When they did, I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. Where now it's like, we can win this. Like, really believe we can win it. And we're unlucky because of these reasons rather than, crap. Like, so yeah. I think that's just a shift, and I think we need to appreciate that a little bit more.
Were you at the game? Italy, England?
No. I went to the... What game did I take my boys to? I got two sons. It's funny because this is going to be like a humble brag. They've only ever been to Wembley to watch me play.
Okay.
So now I'm taking them as fans. And I didn't realise they're football fans as well. So we're going to Wembley and they're excited to go to Wembley. I'm like, right, you've never been. Like, I've seen we've been here before. And it's like, we've never sat in the crowd and that. And I'm like, Jesus.
That's a cool little realisation.
Yeah, just I was
like,
you
tell them, like, you know, you only watch me play here?
No, I didn't. I was just a humble brag in my head. I'm thinking, why you only just come here to play?
Just have a little dance to yourself.
In the car. It's mad, yeah. So then we go there and fans in there, like, my youngest son is like, loves football. He's seen players and he's like, he wants pictures and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, it's mad. It's mad when you see, when you realise that.
Where did you watch the final then? Where were you?
Watched it at home. Watched it at home with my boys and that and family and stuff. And
fair.
Yeah, I can get quite emotional. I turned into a fan like everyone when you're watching it and that.
Did you shed one?
I don't ever. I didn't shed one. I played, so I wasn't going to
never shed a tear football? Like, a little cry somewhere?
Ooh.
Aguero!
Nah, man. That was just happy.
Yeah. If it was for Villa, you probably would have cried, though, wouldn't it?
But he was thinking. I feel like there is something coming.
There might be something, yeah, I'm trying to think.
You might have shed a tear.
I've seen you cry.
You ain't seen me cry. No one's seen me cry. I might have cried, but no one's seen it. I hear like Wolverine.
You must have cried when Undertaker lost his unbeaten streak.
I wasn't a thingy, man. I wasn't.
I'm not really a wrestling guy either.
Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't get that hype.
What's fake?
You must have cried. Come on, man.
Have I cried? Yeah, I've cried.
It's crying. We're talking about football.
Yeah,
crying.
Football. Yeah, but you know,
a specific type of cry. Football crying.
An emotional cry.
It's like tears aren't even coming. Like,
Trying to think. I don't remember.
I don't think you have. Okay.
I'll find the video. When I go home, I'll find the video.
VHS.
Well, there's that, but the moment, Aguero. Bro, you're part of...
I don't believe that.
It's the greatest moment in Premier League history.
Could even say football. Maybe Gerrard, Champions League, Olympia... Milan.
Yeah, they're big moments. But let's just keep it Premier League.
Let's go Premier League. Let me not go too far.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Talk us through that. You're watching it from the other side.
I'm saying I wasn't watching it, though. Like, I only seen the goal and how it went in.
Oh, you didn't?
After. Like, I didn't... Because obviously, when you're playing, I can't watch the ball and I've got to watch the play and assess where I need to be in case it breaks down. So I'm not watching Mario get the ball to Sergio, Sergio take a touch and go in. I'm just watching the game as if, if this doesn't go there, I need to be here and where. And then all of a sudden, you just hear the noise.
You're watching Gibril Cissé in front of you.
Yeah.
Mental. Instead of watching the noise...
Yeah, but that was... That
wasn't just
that. That was everyone. That was every game played in. That was always the scenario you actually have to...
Concerned about your position.
Yeah, you have to. I can't watch the game. ball watching. What do you say to players? You were the coach. Don't ball watch. Ball,
100%.
So that wasn't a thing.
94th minute, like.
Yes.
What was it? 93rd, 95th, 59 or something.
93-20.
There was something I saw. So when that goal's gone and City celebrating, everyone's going crazy. I saw Djibril Cissé celebrating with you.
Samia. Nah, it was Samia. Him and Samia are really close, but they've stayed
up. Okay.
So him and Samia are really close, so they've stayed up.
Okay.
We've won the league. Samia and Djibril Cissé are really close friends, so yeah.
My conspiracy theory brain goes.
Here we go.
It just goes. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's true.
Yeah.
But let's say you're a QPR player. Mm-hmm. You've heard QPR fans celebrate a little bit earlier, potentially. Am I right in that? That they're up?
No? Yeah. I think we were aware they were safe. Yeah.
Do you reckon you as a player might just, you know what?
What, as a QPR?
Yeah, player? You're safe. You might just ease up a little bit.
I don't know any players that has that capability. Because if that is an element of your personality, you don't make it to the Premier
Fair
League.
Play. Mm.
It's Fair still competitive.
That makes sense. No,
it's... That's all players sliding.
Like, even now, like... Who plays to lose?
Yeah.
One.
The celebrations after must have been mad, though.
Yeah, it was a lot.
No, that was real. Someone slid. When Balotelli got the ball, someone slid and I thought, what? You could have gone down and got a pen.
Before he's
given it to a girl.
Yeah, we wasn't on pens. That's why probably Sergio didn't go down.
Because he wasn't on pens. And you know how important that little toe poke is from Balotelli?
That's his only assist.
Balotelli?
Yeah, for Man City. That only got one assist in Man City.
How did he react? Because he's obviously an interesting character.
I think it wasn't as much as a humble brag. I think it was just a brag because he addressed a lot of people in his interview after. Because I think he was one of the first Italians to win the league.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think there's many. I think he might be the first.
Yeah, man.
And he was like 21. So, yeah. Enjoy that moment.
Must have been
enjoy it.
Mental.
Yeah, it was a good party.
Yeah, party after.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
Good times.
Oh, man.
Oh, the best moment, man. The best moment in Premier League history. So, Jordan, obviously you score against France, Euro 2012. Do you still have that shirt?
Yeah, I've still got the shirt, but it's mad because I don't know where that is. Like, so after the Euros, you get all the shirts that you've wore.
Yeah.
And I used to wear one every half of every game, change shirts every half. So I've kept them all. So it's in a bunch of shirts that will have France on, but there's probably like four shirts it could be, one or four. But obviously they have the name on, so you can say V France. But I don't know exactly which one it is, but I've got it. 100%.
Smell it.
No, you get them washed.
Oh, they get washed as well?
Yeah, I wash them.
You don't want to keep it too authentic.
Nah. Some do. I've got some shirts that are like that. I was a sweater. I wasn't a smeller, so I could. Sweater. Yeah, I sweat.
I don't think you'd answer this, but was there someone who's a smeller?
Yeah. There's a couple of them guys out there.
Is it?
There's a couple of real life guys.
They be all the place because I'm a smeller, man.
Yeah, see, I'm not. Yeah, that was a problem.
Is it? So,
yeah.
Give me just one player so I can message them.
No.
Because I'm like them, so I just want to message and say, hey, me with the same.
Too internet sensationalist.
It's true, isn't it? It's true, yeah. You told me after the show.
After the show. No, it's still one tell us. Damn, what a fair. So, England lost on penalties?
Yeah.
Quarter final?
I remember.
You didn't.
I wasn't
going
to take one. I said to them, I will go after Joe Hart. Joe Hart would have took an early one, to be fair, because you could take pens.
Okay.
But like in terms of way we're seeing it, you say the keeper goes last, I was going to go after Joe.
But you're going to go after the
keeper? Yeah, man, that wasn't my role. My role in the team wasn't to take pens. It was to get us through the penalty shootout, 0-0, after 120 minutes. Someone else be the hero.
Fair.
I don't take pens.
Yeah.
I think penalties should be removed from football. Then you should play until
what?
Golden goal.
Just forever?
Yeah, I don't penalties. Because every time when I go and take a penalty...
Not a bad
penalties?
I don't do penalty shootouts.
What do you mean no penalty shootouts?
In general, they remove it from football, give it to golf. Don't leave it with football. It's not good for my heart.
Yeah, it's emotional.
But it adds that element of jeopardy, doesn't it? It adds that excitement.
No, but it's just... But being in it, like, I've taken a penalty before where it's like, okay, cool, penalty is cool. As soon as I run up the goal, I can't see it. Where's the goal?
I missed that.
I can just see the goalkeeper. So I give him the
People
ball.
Say it's the walk. That's the hardest part.
This course is hard. Yeah. The walk is like...
Yeah, you got
to
be...
And these keepers are 200 centimetres tall. That's not fair. The third shirt is the haunted one. Birmingham City home shirt. And it's the 2000-2001.
Yeah, because just growing up, you just wasn't allowed to wear... Or like that club. And it was probably more so from the time when, like, I was at Wolves. Obviously, I'm a Villa fan playing for Wolves in the youth team. And Birmingham, decent. Remember Andrew Johnson?
Yeah.
The teammate Everton.
Yeah, but, like, the Goldberg stream.
We had some good battles when he was back Blues. Baller. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was probably the shirt. Auto windscreens, yeah.
The reason we've specifically picked the 2001 shirt is obviously you're playing at Wolves, you're playing against Birmingham, and they beat you.
Yeah.
Was losing to them a bit more hurtful? Did you get stick afterwards from people around
you? Not really, because I was a Villa fan, so Villa were better than Blues, and I was playing for Wolves, and Wolves were better than Blues, so it couldn't really give me that. Like, losing a game was hurtful, but did it hurt more? No, not really. Because I said it was only me, teammates. We just lost a game, so it hurt, but it wasn't like our
fair.
Different. Like, say you lose to like West Brom as Wolves, then it's wild because you know people are getting stick fans and are going to receive abuse because that's the rivalry.
And you're only 18 though, at this time. A lot of older players around you.
Fight.
How did you deal with that as such a young age?
In terms of. Just dealing with
mentally and did you feel nerves? Did you feel like you had to impress?
See, that was the thing. It was like probably not being aware of them things helped me not understand what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
Like
depression.
Yeah. Depression wasn't a thing. So mental health was a thing then, but it wasn't brought up. So I wasn't aware of what certain things they look like. Like I know now when I went to Everton, I was like homesick. Like bad, really bad, but that That's wasn't a thing to know then.
So it was almost like you'd feel something.
It was horrible.
But it wasn't a word.
Like, I would have gone back to Wolves straight away. Like, after 2 weeks, if they said, oh, you can go back, I would have gone back.
Is it?
It was horrible just being away. I'd never been away before, but you wasn't allowed to say them things or register them things, so you just had to get on with it. And then, like I said, it's not okay for everyone to do that, but I think helping me was, like, not speaking about them helped me.
Okay, was that just tunnel vision?
I have a simple approach to most things.
So
I just think logically and simple processes allow me to deal with it.
Simplicity is key, you know, in space, all that. I mean, it's a cliche for everything.
As long as
cliches don't go with each other, but they both make sense. I love a cliche.
I mean, so you've played a lot of derbies.
Yeah.
So you played, you know, the
Villa Blues.
Blues. Merseyside, West Brom, Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Everton.
Yeah. And Manchester.
Manchester, Man City.
Done a lot.
Which one is the, like...
You can't... See, this is what I always say this year. When someone asks that, which is the biggest derby, like...
Yeah.
You can't tell me Man City, Man United, it means more to them fans than Wolves, West Brom. No one can tell me that. Like, people say, oh, Firm's the biggest derby. Why? Because it means more to their fans than... Arsenal, Spurs.
Mm.
No, it doesn't mean more. The occasion might be bigger. Like, so my biggest derby game was City United because we needed to beat them to go top of the league and to potentially win the title. So that was the biggest derby game. But I played Everton-Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinals, Wolves-West Brom, like, league game to compete for playoff spots. Like, so in terms of that, they're all the same. I can't say this game's bigger because them fans, it means everything to them fans as much as to them fans. But in terms of the outcome of the game was the City United game.
But you played in the Villa Birmingham game.
Yeah, Villa Park.
EFL Cup?
Yeah.
And it was 1-0?
Yeah.
Victory?
Yeah.
Good vibes?
Yeah. That was nice. As I said, it was like, probably wasn't a derby that I thought about playing in growing up. It was just playing for Villa. Like, but then when you get into that atmosphere and you realise, it's a huge game.
It's gone a bit naughty as well.
I mean...
Grealish got...
Yeah, that went too far.
Before. Way too far.
That went too far.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know how that guy got off the field.
Stewards. He's
not, what? They're not getting to him before me.
Mm. Oh, you mean players?
Yeah. I don't know how he survived. Like, if it's a teammate, when it's you, when it's me, I used to think and be able to...
Yeah.
Compose myself, but when it was a teammate,
I know what you mean. You just go
just
in.
It's like, it's like when your brother,
someone
calls you a name, you can like, whatever. And if it's your brother or sibling or friend, it's like, well, we just go in.
If it was like a kid, you'd be like, all right, cool, we get it. It's just this kid.
Yeah, it was a geezer.
Grow. This guy older than my dad's dad.
It's wild, that. It's wild, and it's there was a period when he got too far, though, where it just stuff was getting too far. It's far now, but stuff like that, when you think it's cool to do that, to get a reaction, like, it's wild.
And what, you know, these derbies, there's no you don't get nervous? Because, you know, like, it's a big game. You don't. I remember when I played for Islington Borough and I played Camden. And so in my area, that was like a rivalry. So I played centre-back myself. So you give me the ball, my heart's beating. And I'm getting pressed. And I just give it to the keeper. And I don't want to hide because it's... Did it feel like that in any of those derbies?
Yeah and no. But that is part of the privilege, game. Man. If it's not pressure, then it's, you're not doing it right, are you? You know what I mean? You got to enjoy the moments because that is what you've worked for. You've worked so hard to get to that stage where people are relying on you to perform.
So what's your favourite derby then? Your favourite?
That I've played in?
Yeah.
Ooh. No one's asked me that.
Exclusives.
Yeah. Probably said my first one, Wolves West Brom. We won 3-1 or 3-2? 3-1 at Molineux. Because that was the first time I'd ever heard or played when I couldn't hear.
Oh,
I'd never done
like?
That before. I'd played in atmospheres were mad, but I'd never played when I couldn't. It was constant, like, a whole time. So that was like a memory that I have.
So you couldn't hear like fellow players?
Oh, no, you couldn't hear Manon. It was none of that. It was none of that stuff. It was like literally, yeah. And it was funny because we had a fight. That was when you could fight for real in a tunnel or on a pitch. Hockey. Like real stuff could go on. And there was no videos. So it wasn't coming back and you wasn't no retrospective action taken. And Darren Moore, again, good friend of mine, know him well.
He's a big guy.
Real big guy. Real big guy. So it's gone off, yeah. And I don't know why. I don't know why because I'm not that guy. As it's gone off, I've gone around the back of him and I've put him in a headlock. But then I've half realised, what are you doing? And he's turned round to strangle me. I've gone, Moore, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, like that. But in the paper, it's just a picture of me.
Oh my God.
I was there like, yes.
You look like
I'm that guy.
Top done.
Yeah. But so that game. Amazing. Yeah, that was probably one, I would say. But then other derbies of that same noise. Mm. Yeah. Like playing Liverpool in the FA Cup, beating them. Oh. That game at like the Etihad when Vinny scores. That was just constant, like
there was a noise that done my head in. The you remember that World Cup?
South Africa?
Oh.
With Vuvuzelas.
Yeah, that was it.
That was hard to watch, man. Great World Cup, but the Vuvuzelas.
Even when you mute it. Still there. Yeah.
But you say that, yeah, them. But you know, like COVID times, could you watch the games without the sound on?
I stopped watching.
Without the sound on?
Oh, because they did a fake sound, didn't
it? I had to watch with the sound on.
Off, all off.
Off for me.
Off. Yeah. I couldn't watch football.
I like hearing
with the fake sound.
So I couldn't even play FIFA without the commentary.
You know, early on in your career, 17, 18, you know, first contract, £250 you're getting paid.
That was a month.
Was that a week or a month?
A week. My first like contract, so YTS was £42.50. So that was what you used to get a week. And then an extra £40 for your travel expenses. So I'll get a bus pass for the month. But then I could say it now because it's fine. So you used to have the eraser thing so you could and then buy the stamp so you could reprint your bus pass. So you used to keep the 40.
So are you saying you did what I did? You used to cut
standard.
The numbers out and stick it on.
But I didn't used to do that because you remember the stamp that you could rotate the thing on. So you just buy that and then you just have to do it. So if you didn't push it down too hard every month, you could just like get the compass, the needle, scratch it off.
With a compass.
Yeah, it was proper tools. And then that was for the bus pass. And if you wanted the train pass, you just fold over the top piece where you say bus travel. And then behind it was an old rail travel thing. But the bottom pieces were the same colour. So you can just fold it over and then...
So you were getting £42 a week and an extra £40 because you were saving on bus travel.
£40 a month.
That's decent, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. When my mum used to give me £20 a week for my... You know, the bus... Was it £20? Yeah. No.
£20 a week?
Sorry, a month. It was a month. I used to...
£5.90 a week, wasn't it, in London? When you were in school.
It was cheap when I was in school.
£5.90 a week?
Yeah, there.
I'm a bit older than Julian, so...
Them day savers you could get for like...
Yeah, because you could get on a bus with 20p.
Yeah. Go, how many stops you go in, you could lie.
Yeah.
You could lie about stops.
We had a bus conductor. Oh my God.
Of course, yeah.
With a thing on his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the train one now.
And he's just standing there.
Sometimes you sit there, just pretend you're sleeping.
They were mad cool as well.
They used to wait and see if he'd gone yet. They just say he's still there.
Good old days, man.
We have gone through...
Yeah,
the back pass.
40p, back pass.
Yeah, the back pass.
Nice oysters, nice. Everything's ding.
Yeah, scanning your phone and that.
Scanning your phone. You know what I mean? You can't edit that now.
It's harder to edit, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a compass, a ruler.
Yeah. I used to cut the letters.
What's it called? Pricks in the glue?
Pricks.
All of that.
Does Pricks even exist anymore?
Just for bus pass. So because we're speaking about, 40p to get on the bus,
yeah,
we might as well talk about the last shirt, the named one. That's the home... Brazil 1998 World Cup top, legendary R9s.
To give some more context to the audience, this is the named one is the one player you had to have on the back of your shirt.
You know when you're growing up and you're a kid and you're a fan and you want a shirt or any shirt, but this is like I'm playing.
So peng.
This shirt here. That shirt is still relevant now. They brought 100%. That out now. You're like, wow, it's a big deal. Because it's one of the first ones with the round colour in that as well. And it's R9. You got the matching boots.
Yeah, so this is also for me. My first shirt ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I came to the UK in 1998 in March. This one in May for the World Cup. Fair my mum managed to, get some pennies together.
Mum and dad doing all right then. Well, I didn't have that shirt.
Well, I mean...
yeah. It wasn't from the market. Was it from the market? You got them Umbro jeans and
Umbro jeans!
Yeah, it was... My mum loved me a lot, so thank you, Mum, for, spoiling me. I agree with you, man. Just the colours. I mean, it's Brazil. The blue shorts as well. There's something about the whole... I think it was white socks Brazil
had. It was,
had.
With the blue stripe around them.
Oh, shirt. Man. And then obviously the boots he was wearing.
Yeah, and that was like the first... I think that was the time when the Jenga adverts were coming out. It was like the airport advert and stuff like that.
Oh, the adverts were amazing.
98 was special.
And that was R9, like the greatest player to ever.
What other players do you remember from that World Cup? Like
Kluivert.
Oh.
Kluivert was a big deal,
Big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, man. That game, that Holland-Brazil game.
Oh, amazing.
Epic.
That went
epic.
Extra time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 2-1
Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, great game. Yeah.
To be fair, that kit was cold as well.
The orange and black. Yeah. That's always a great combination. But in general, though, let's look at this World Cup had some very amazing... had a Brazil kit, a France kit, which was also pretty good. Yep. Sorry, Jamaica kit.
Yeah. Ooh, that was their first one, though, wasn't it? That's
first
why.
That Jamaica kit.
That's Kappa.
Kappa.
Reggae Boys.
Had like, the Reggae Boys. Yeah,
it had that. Remember, it had that pattern like that?
Yeah, it had like a triangle thing on the side. Or the pattern on the side.
No, it had that pattern.
You
know what pattern that goes like that?
Oh, yeah.
That one.
I used to love that stuff.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. Yeah. Argentina kit as well was very good. But also just the players that played in that World Cup. Was that, would you say, the most iconic... Perhaps, I don't know if it's nostalgia from our side, because I was only, 6 years old, but to me that still remains as like...
Yeah, the most legends.
Most legends.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, as I said, there's going to be legends now, and but teams had top players. Like, Holland was 8 or 9 superheroes. Brazil, same. France, same. Like, we had Owen, up to no good. You know what I mean? So, for me... Like Thuram as well, them times. Like that was like I got his shirt. It's funny. So that was playing France, and it was David Beckham's 100th cap. Mm. So we're walking off, and I say, "Can I have his shirt?" Like, and he gave me his shirt, and I just went to walk off, and then he grabbed me like, and asked me for mine. I was like, "So thinking, you don't want my shirt."
That's a little full circle moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone you watched in the World Cup.
Yeah.
You like them. You it's play mad. Him after, wow. and you get his shirt.
Yeah. Them wow. times. Yeah.
Love it.
So let's go. Like, obviously, like, Ronaldo. Obviously, he's the GOAT, right?
Yeah. For me.
I'm putting you in that England team. All right? Just, World Cup, you're playing against Brazil. I'm putting you in there. But you're older. You're older.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's one that you step overs. You getting that ball?
Nah, man. But listen, there was people that didn't get that ball. So I'm not going to say, I'm taking it off R9. When you see that... That step over, he's done.
Even
he's
the
done
face,
for.
You look like there's a little,
the shimmy, just like, he put it in his face. No one put step overs into their face.
You're right.
Like, he was like, oh. he was the guy, man. He's It's the first book I ever read. Like, I never read books and that.
I need to read his book, man. That sounds...
Yeah, it was like, I stopped reading when he got to France, like, yeah, because that was like
I cried,
difficult
bro.
Time, yeah.
When Brazil lost that World Cup, I genuinely, yeah, I think it's, that's the first time too. Ever I cried over football.
Yeah?
Bro, I shed tears, bro. My first boots, my first shirt. I don't know, for some reason, I think I thought I was Brazilian.
Yeah, he was invested.
But Yugoslavia just broke up. So I think that kind of makes sense. I was trying to find a nation. And
you
I was like,
Brazil.
I'll be Brazilian.
Do you remember what happened? Do you remember why Ronaldo had
He didn't turn up for the warm-up and stuff. Yeah. But no one knows
he
the exact
ill
reason.
Or something, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No one knows the exact reason to what it was.
Remember I told you about the stomach. When the stomach's ready to go, it doesn't matter if
you think he needed number two and he couldn't warm up?
That's
he wasn't even at the stadium.
Was he on a train?
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So he wasn't at the stadium during the warm-up, so no one knew he was going
to
play.
So we need to know... Okay, hold on.
That's never...
When 2022
now?
We're 2022. Mate, we don't even know...
Is it what happened?
You killed Tupac and Biggie, so we ain't going to find out.
It's true.
You know, I interviewed him.
You Tupac?
No. R9.
Well, hologram thing.
No. R9.
Yeah?
What a man. I was so gassed.
If I seen him now... Starstruck.
Would you be?
Yeah.
I was like, obviously he's changed a lot.
I think I like every picture on Instagram. I follow him, I just like all his pictures.
So cool, isn't it?
Doesn't matter what he posts, it's irrelevant to me.
Nah,
I'm liking
lovely,
it.
Bro.
So he's the best for you?
Yeah.
Like Messi and.
Nah, it's not the same, bro.
It's different.
It's
because
different
the era was who he was doing it against was different as well.
Let's fast forward a little bit. For you, who's a player you hated playing against? Someone else.
Ooh.
Hated
playing against. The best player I ever played against was Lou Saha at Fulham. He gave me a real taste. He made me know I needed to do more as a professional and a footballer.
What was he doing?
Everything. I played against him a few weeks before and done all right. And this was when Fulham were Championship. And
Pizza Hut shirt.
Before. So it was like John Tignanada was in the Champ.
Oh, John Tignanada.
And they were top. They were top of the league. I think they averaged like 3 goals a game. We played them. We drew 0-0. I got man of the match. And this is before you could really do like research and stuff. You couldn't really watch videos. And then fast forward a few weeks, we're playing them in the cup. So I'm assuming it's the same. But it weren't the same. It gave me a real taste. We lost 3-0, and he scored a pen with his right foot and a free kick with his left foot. And he did some stuff to me that hadn't happened to me since I was like a kid playing with adults, like tricks and that. And I was like, well, he's faster, stronger, technically better.
Stronger?
Everything. Like, I'd never played against someone that was better than me in all the elements at one time. Like, someone was faster than me or someone was stronger than me, but I'd outdo them in other ways.
Mm.
But that game, like, I remember going into the dressing room and thinking, I might have to retire. Like, this is real. This is real life. But it was the best thing because then I realised there's a level. There's another level.
There's an elite level, is there?
Yeah.
You was elite.
But again, that just helped me know that can happen. You can be humbled real quick.
I've been humbled many times.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. I'm good at right now, but that's what even I thought I could make it until I started playing with. There's a guy in my school called Ryan Smith, end up playing for Arsenal.
Yeah.
He embarrassed me in front of my girl, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Still your girl now?
No way, but that was done.
That was the reason.
I was on the floor. How can I be running after someone and I'm on the floor?
It's peak.
It's peak.
Did you have a favourite shirt that you've worn in your career then?
Tucked in, collars, up.
Yeah, I would probably say there was a white Wolves one.
Ooh.
Because it was just transitioning into like leaner shirts now, so there wasn't parachutes, and I've looked, it's not up there. Doritos was on the front.
Ah, oh, banging.
Yeah.
That one was banging. I don't know which one.
And because I just moved from my sponsor, so I was changing my coloured boots, and it allowed me to wear the same boots with both kits. So we had like white with a bit of gold on, and the other one was like gold, obviously. But yeah, I would say there's a white Doritos one that. And I scored, for whatever reason, I scored a few goals in that.
Where's that shirt now?
I don't know. I haven't got it.
Oh,
I haven't got it because there's no iconic moments.
We'll get to him. We'll get him one.
I want to wear it. I want to wear
the
it to the festival.
One. Yeah.
I'm going to the festival this weekend. I want to wear it.
Yeah, it's a bad shirt.
That's a sharp.
Yeah.
Admiral was the sponsor.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't even like one of the big hitters. It was Admiral.
I like that because the niche sponsors are kind of becoming more and more, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Now.
They're kind of
yeah.
cool.
But like, before they, it was like.
Yeah, you got that. You're like,
yeah, it was just them, all the cusp yeah. teeth, them things there.
Man, listen, man, that's a legend, you know.
Yeah, I have thoroughly enjoyed that. I mean, I don't like saying favourite episodes, but.
Yeah, I'm going to say I don't like saying
but let's
like,
just say.
Yeah.
It was potentially my favourite episode.
Yeah. I'm going to say the same too.
Akifen was amazing.
Akifen was great, but maybe this is the only guest where we yeah, take his number and start hanging around with him.
I can imagine us like, I don't know. Where? Box Park? Or too public?
No, that's too public. Yeah. We'll take
you come, no, do you come up north much?
I love Manny.
Manny's all right,
innit? Yours?
We go yours.
Yeah, yours, the bar.
We go.
Look at that face.
We go there.
Yeah?
We go there.
Yours is a vibe. So
we're going to yours.
Yeah.
No, yours.
I was there the weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was D2G playing?
Yeah.
Come on, Georgia, man. Thanks for coming on, man. That was
strict. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
I told you, we have celebrity guests. We get nostalgic.
Yeah.
We talk about great shirts. Let's
talk about kits.
And once again, the Brazil 98 shirt wins, doesn't it?
It does, man. I think that we are getting there slowly. That is looking like the greatest potentially kit of all time.
Facts.
98 Brazil. A huge thank you to our friend, Jolyon, well, hopefully now our friend, Jolyon Lescott, for coming in today. And a big thank you to our friends at Classic Football Shirts.
This has been Stripped, brought to you by William Hill.
18 plus, please gamble responsibly.